Representing East Oakland, man.
All right, guys. Welcome back to the Hawk Vision Podcast. I'm your host, Chuck Hawkins, here to help you shorten the learning curve on your way to greatness. Make sure that you like, share, and subscribe across all of your social media platforms, especially here at YouTube. More importantly, share this podcast with other visionaries just like you. Before we get started, a lot of you have been asking, sending messages on how to support the show. So if you take a look at the show notes, you'll see a link to one of my favorite things. If you know anything about me, guys, you know that I love me some coffee. So now you can support the show by buying me a cup or two. And for those of you that are a subscriber, you'll receive some extra behind the scenes info on the back end. As always, can't thank you enough for all the DMs, comments, and messages. We absolutely cannot grow the show without you. Now, to all my visionaries out there, this episode, I believe, is going to be an instant classic, not just because of who our guest is, but because this business coach is an absolute rock star with thousands of actively engaged followers on Instagram and across other social media platforms. But what I like most is that he's not just an online business. He curates relationships that live offline, and that's why his network is growing. That's why he's influential and impactful. He's an author, an extremely successful entrepreneur, and business coach, teaching thousands of people how to grow their businesses and expand their brand with clear online content. Someone I absolutely have tons of respect for and can't wait for you guys to hear from, Mr. Terry Griffin. Welcome to the show, sir.
I appreciate you, man. Listen, I'm going to need that intro. Like, I'm going to need you that, just that recording of that intro. I'm going to need to start like putting that on my Instagram every before I do any videos, man. I like that.
Listen, anytime. I grew up in an era with network marketing where we went through boot camps on how to do introductions because people don't learn how to edify leadership, right? They just kind of, this is the person that you're going to hear from today. Now, right, man, we got to talk about why you in front of the room and why you're on this show, because the accomplishments have measured up so far. So you've earned it. My pleasure to say it, bro.
Look, I appreciate you. I'm going to have to need you at one of my classes just to teach that. People need to learn how to introduce themselves. You know, that in itself is a skill that people don't have. Man, I think that'd be dope.
Oh, all day long. Edification is mandatory. It's the only way that we can build instant credibility, especially when you have a guest speaker or, you know, somebody that's here to teach a class. So anything you need from me, always, bro. I'm happy to have you carve out some time.
It's good. I'm happy to be here, actually. You know, we were scheduled before. Mishaps happened on my end, but I had to make sure I, you know, double back. And because what you're doing is amazing. I'm like, that's, you know, I need to be on this podcast. I need to be on Hawk Vision. So man, I was like, make sure everything was right. And I'm here.
I appreciate it. I know it's going to be a lot of gems dropped. So let's jump right in, man. You know, I'm a big Marvel fan. So we got to talk about the origin story. What got Terry Griffin started into entrepreneurship?
You know what? My first business that I ever started was an AAU team. So I was, at the time, I ran an after-school program and I was coaching kids, right? Yep. See, the problem with coaching kids is that you have them during the school year, they fall off during the summer, and then when you get them back the next school year, it's like you have to reteach them all over again.
Reprogram.
And so since it was like reprogramming them, and then I'm like, okay, I'm putting in a lot of work to teaching these kids how to play basketball. I don't want to have to do it all over again, teaching how to shoot a layup, you know? Yes. And so what I did was I created an AAU team.
Okay.
One of the things was a lot of the kids, I was working at, when I grew up, it was called Calvin Simmons. So I was working at Calvin Simmons, right? It's now called United for Success. So they switched the game up. So what I learned was that a lot of those kids that were really good at basketball, they couldn't afford to play AAU. Right. AAU was so expensive. So I'm like, well, you know what? If I start a team, make it low cost and affordable, because what happens with AAU, they travel all across the country, right? They
correct
in Seattle, they in Oregon, they in all these different places. They Reno, all Nevada, they go all these places, right? And so yep. I'm just like, okay, well, what if I just start an AAU team and we just play local? You know, maybe go to Sacramento or Fresno or do events here in Oakland. Yes. That way I keep them engaged. So that was my mindset there, because in entrepreneurship, your vision can't be money. It has to have a purpose, right? When you start in a business, your business has to have a purpose. And once you have a purpose, the money's going to come. So my purpose was, let me give these kids something to do during the summer that's not going to break their parents' pockets and keep them out the street.
Yeah.
And so once I started that, we started doing fundraisers, having tournaments and, you know, making money and stuff like that. I'm like this.
This ain't bad, right?
I like this. It's not bad. You know, it's not bad. So because of that, I was just like, okay, I'm in there. And so I've never turned back.
I love it. I think it's funny. Everybody that has been on the show, their first entrepreneurship experience, it's not always the most successful, obviously, because you learn as you grow. Right. But one of the things that they all have in common, including yourself, is they started doing something that they love first. Yes. Right. And it was always a mission of either they were giving back or it was something that they loved to do. And it just so happened that people were willing to pay them for it.
Right. So definitely. Yeah.
So if we move forward, right, I know a lot of people have businesses that they feel like they can't necessarily compete on Instagram. Right. It's hard to compete with the algorithm. Partly because of the algorithm always changes. And the other part is trying to get your followers onto the platform and then engage. That can feel like a whole separate job. What do you say to the entrepreneur that is fighting the Instagram algorithm to try to get noticed?
You know what? I'm not going to lie. The Instagram algorithm is crazy, right? But in reality, if you have good content, it's going to be shown. The Instagram algorithm only likes to show content that's good. So if you post good content and your followers are engaged with it, the algorithm ain't going to suppress what you post. They're going to want more people to see it, right? Instagram gets paid by having more people on their platform. Correct. So if you post good content, your content is going to be shown, right? It's just the thing of posting good content consistently. And that's where a lot of people fall off at. Yeah. Oh, I posted some today and maybe something yesterday and it didn't do well, so I ain't post nothing for a week.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's about consistency. If you can stay consistent with it, then the algorithm is going to show you love, right? I always use this example. Like, just think about this. If you're in a relationship.
Okay.
If you're in a relationship and you talk to your partner every day, you guys are building, you guys are loving, you guys are bonding, right?
Yes.
Go a week without talking to your partner and see how that next conversation is going to go.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what the algorithm do to you. Yeah. You've been gone from me for a week. I ain't trying to hear you. You're not consistent with me in this relationship. So since you're not consistent with me in this relationship, I ain't about to show you love.
You didn't tell me where you was, what time you was going to be home.
Exactly. Nothing. You're not showing me love, so I'm not going to show you love. And so that's how the algorithm works with social media, right? That's one. And then the second thing is you have to show other people love.
Mm.
People are very arrogant and spoiled in Let's a way go. Of they feel like, oh, I made a post, so everybody needs to like and comment on my stuff. But it's like, you're not showing other people love. And since you're not showing other people love, they're not going to show you love.
Yeah.
So you have to take the time to go like other people's stuff, go comment on other people's stuff, go show love to other people, go on people's lives, watch them and all that, because that's how you get noticed, right?
Yes.
You ever think about this? Think about with you having a podcast, you know who watches your podcast and show you love.
Yes.
And because you know that, you're going to go back and show them that same love, because it's like, this person always show me love.
Yeah.
So let me make sure I comment. Or when I see they post, I'm making sure I'm commenting, I'm looking, and I'm engaging. Why? Because this person show me love. We have to show other people love to get love. Same thing as a relationship, right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny though, because the part that I think people miss is when you say that you have to have good content, it's always good to the person that created it. right? But sometimes it doesn't carry over. And I think that's the part about finding what your audience is actually looking for. Like, it's hard to force feed from the ground up on Instagram. It's hard to force feed your content, right? You have to figure out what they like. And so in that instance, do you have a preference in terms of carousel posts? Are you a Reels guy? And we're going to talk about my favorite ones that you do in a second, but are you carousel posts, Reels? What's your input? Because everybody has their, you know, their preferred way.
Well, for me, I am right now, I'm in more into video than anything, but that's because I know that's what Instagram is pushing, right? Instagram is in competition with TikTok. TikTok is all videos. So yeah. Instagram is pushing video. So me, I'm going heavy on videos, right?
Yes.
But I would just say to anybody that's new or anybody that's trying to figure it out, do everything, see what sticks, and then continue with that, right? But the way you see what sticks is you have to look at your insights and seeing what's getting the most engagement from your audience. Like, you literally go to your settings, look at your insights, and you can look up like the last 7 days or 30 days, right?
Yes.
And see what get the most likes, what get the most comments, what gets the most shares. And if I go on there and I see, oh, when I post this video, this type of video, I get the most likes. Oh, when I make this type of post and it's a carousel, I get the most shares. Okay, so now I know that these two type of things my audience likes. So yeah. Let me produce more of that. The problem is people try to force what they feel is good.
Yeah.
And it's not. That's like you go to somebody's house that can't cook, right? I know your potato salad is nasty. I'm not going to eat this potato salad. Like, I tried it once, it wasn't good. You can't force feed me this nasty potato salad.
Right.
So if your potato salad nasty and people not eating it, then you know, like, okay, I either need to get a new recipe or I just need to start serving something else.
Listen, no raisins in the potato salad and no Instagram mixtapes.
No, I don't need raisins or apples in my
potato salad. Oh, my God. Yeah, I think a lot of people are approaching Instagram like it's their mixtape, right? To you, it's fire, right? To you, it's like, boy, I put in everything on this one.
Yeah.
And then when you push play, it's like,
and I'm feeling it.
That's crazy.
You have to let go of the ego. It's the ego that we have, right? We have this ego like, this is good. I know it's good. People gotta like it. But it's like, well, they obviously not liking it. And you have to let go of that ego and see what the customers, your followers are saying and switch it up.
So time management comes into play with that too. Can you talk about real quick? Can you talk about a couple of the tools that you use, maybe to schedule some posts out so that the listeners know that they don't have to just consistently being this, you know, creating posts, you know?
Yeah. So there's three. I'll give you the first two. You can use Planoly and you can use Later, right?
Okay.
So what I try to teach people is how to batch create. You take one day, maybe like an hour or two, create all your contents, videos, quotes, anything that you're doing, right?
Yes.
Create it all in one day, like an hour or two. Mm-hmm. You can get this thing. If you post three times a day, that's only 21 posts a week, right? In 2 hours, you should be able to come up with 21 posts.
Yeah.
So then after you do that, all you have to do is put it inside of Planoly or Later, and you just schedule your posts out for the week. So now all you got to do is it's going to post for you automatically. All you got to do is engage with people. My favorite one that use, I'm gonna give you this. I wasn't gonna really talk about it too much because this is my secret sauce right here. But because you feel me, I love what you're doing, I'm gonna let it be known. Okay.
Okay, let's give it to
him. The app is called Preview.
Mm.
Let me tell you, when I say I'm going to contact Preview and to see how they can sponsor one of my events, and I'm just gonna really push this app because the app is everything. You can schedule your posts.
Okay.
You schedule your posts. It helps you write captions. It gives you great hashtags to use. And they give you they got different books and different stuff, articles and stuff that they create to help you become better with Instagram.
Now, see, I didn't know about Preview. I've heard of it, but I'm old school, so I still use Buffer, right? Like, Buffer is my thing, but You might have just sold me on that one. That might have to be a masterclass.
Listen, preview is so dope. I was a big fan of later. I used to push later all the time.
Yeah.
Once I found preview and started using it, I don't even look at no other app.
I love it. I love it. Let's spend a little bit of time on what put you on my radar. The affirmations, you know, that got me locked in. So when did you, in terms of your journey for entrepreneurship and building businesses and helping others build theirs, when did you realize how important the affirmations were to working on both your business and you personally?
Let me tell you what, man. We right before this, we was talking about Atlanta, right?
Let's go.
So I was, you know, you hear about affirmations and you hear the cliches like, if you believe you can, you can. If you leave, you don't, you don't. Yeah. Right. You hear cliche stuff like that and you're just like, whatever. But after reading some books, visiting at Atlanta and stuff, I got Nehemiah Davis' book.
Yeah.
In the beginning, a lot of these business books, the first chapter, the first thing they talk about is mindset.
Yes.
If you don't have the correct mindset, you can't accomplish nothing. Right. And so once I learned that and I start seeing the power of affirming and the power of the word I am, mm-hmm. I start seeing the difference, right? Because once you see positivity, that's what is going to project. That's what is going to happen. That's like this red, right? If I think red and all I see, and then once I go outside and all I see is red, that's what's going to gravitate to me, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so the same thing with affirmations. If I believe and affirm what's going to happen, then that's what I'm going to project and what's going to come to me. And so once I start speaking to myself positively, and I tell people this all the time, be careful how you talk to yourself because someone important is listening.
Yes.
And so once I start speaking to myself in a positive manner, it started being like, I start seeing a difference. Mm. And so one thing that I wanted to do is like, okay, now that I am doing this for myself, I want to share it with other people because I want you to see how this has changed my life and I want to help it change yours.
Yeah, I grew up in the network marketing industry before doing this and some of my other consulting. And so we used to talk about affirmations. I'm talking late 90s, early 2000s. I got you by a couple of years. and one of the things that I tell my daughters now, is, you know, I had them watch The Secret. You remember that movie, The Secret? Mm-hmm. I had them watch that. And the easiest way for me to explain affirmations was think about the car you want. And when you start thinking about that car you want, you start to see that car everywhere. And it is the easiest way to get people to understand that your mind is going to go to work on something. Mm-hmm. It might as well be the goals that you have.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're going to talk to yourself and make yourself believe whatever you want yourself to believe. Right. As they say, is you're going to lie to yourself no matter what. So it's going to be, which lie are you going to tell to yourself? The positive one or the negative one? Whichever one you pick is the one that your brain is going to go to.
Yeah. So the thing that I wish more people knew about affirmations is that when you start saying them, creating the habit, like you said, it feels like you're telling yourself a lie. But can you talk about that part for visionaries? Who are pushing, but saying, you know, that little part in the background is still saying, but I'm not at six figures yet. And we know in California, six figures is, you know, you might as well still be broke a little bit if it's only 100. But what happens when you're starting the practice of creating the habit for affirmations and then that little nagging voice in the back of your head, like, bro, you lying?
Yeah. It's just all about mindset, man, because you're going, no matter what, you're going to still doubt yourself sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is saying it, putting in the work, and seeing the goals being accomplished. And once you start seeing those different goals being accomplished, then you like, oh, shit, it's working. This really worked. And so what it is just believing it in yourself and actually putting in the work. So therefore, as you're talking and affirming these things in your life, you're now accomplishing these goals. And now that head, that voice in the back of your head that's doubting you mm-hmm. is no longer there, because you're seeing like, dang, I could really do this. Dang, right. I really did that. Oh, I really accomplished that goal. Man, I never thought I would make this amount of money.
Yeah, it's true. I tell everybody, you should have a trophy room in the house. I don't care if it's the garage, the closet. You should have something where all of your accomplishments, certifications, yeah. whatever it is, are posted, just so that you can remind yourself that you did it. You yeah. know, like, you got to have that positive reinforcement. So you mentioned this a little bit earlier. You were just, not just, but you were just down south with the Black Avengers. That's what I call them. David Shane, yeah. M500, Trapper. You mentioned Neil Davis and those guys. What were a couple of the key takeaways that you pulled from being in the room with those minds?
You can tell you what's crazy? It
yes.
is. Being in those rooms, it just makes you think like, damn, I'm not doing enough. Mm. I'm not doing enough. Right. You get in those rooms and you hear these conversations. You hear them talking about the money that they make and the deals that they do, how hard that they push it. But then the thing is that you hear about, once they get to a certain level, that the work that they do is not about hard work. It's about smart work. Right.
Yeah. Strategy.
And so once you see that, it's just like, it's hard to be in those type of rooms and then not leave out inspired and wanting to do more. Like, you can't be around those type of people that's making the moves that they make
yeah.
and not want to be around that and not want to accomplish those things, but also not believing it that those type of things can be accomplished, because you see it. You're around it. You're around people that's making $1 million a day, you right. know, $100,000 a day, $1 million months. You're around that. And once you're around that, you just like, need to be a part of that.
Yeah, I want in.
I want that. I want in. Yeah. What do I need to do? When I get home, I know I'm not doing enough. Let me do a little. Let me go just a little bit harder. Let me be a little bit more consistent. Like, let me do more so I can accomplish what I'm around. So therefore, and then it's a different swag when you in those rooms, right? It gives you a different feel. It, right, you see a different swag. You see a different feel of Black excellence, right?
Yes.
And if that just like, I want to have this feeling all the time. I want to be in these type of rooms all the time. What do I got to do to be here?
Yeah, oh, listen, man. You know, it's funny because a while back, everybody, you remember when everybody was posting, they were saying, no new friends. I want all the new friends.
I want all of them.
I want all the new friends because I want to be in those rooms. You know what I mean?
I want to be in those rooms.
One of my clients I was telling a while back, I said, before I got started on this journey, I didn't have anybody that made more than me in my phone. Right now I got judges, lawyers, millionaires, network marketers, like, because you make the mindset to do the work. Right. And then you have those affirmations, that stuff starts coming to you. And now you can have 6-7 figure conversations and you can start to put the plays together. So I absolutely love the energy. I saw it while you were talking about it. You're like, man, listen, I felt 10 feet tall, bulletproof.
And I'm there. Like, I ain't no way in hell that I can be around that and not want to achieve that and not going to achieve that. Like, what? I'm on a whole different grind. My grind is different now. And it has to be, because I need to be in that room. I need to live that lifestyle. My family, my kids, my wife, my parents, my brothers, my sisters. Everybody deserves to have this good lifestyle, and I'm going to make sure that it's off my work.
So that leads me perfectly to the event space, sir. Okay. Talk to me about the event space and why you chose to open it. Not only chose to open it, but during a pandemic, you opened an event space.
Let me tell you what, man. In my background, I've been throwing parties and events for a few years now.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, we're going to talk about that boat cruise, too.
Let's talk about it. Look, so I've been throwing parties and events for a while now, and the problem is I've always had to utilize other people's space.
Yeah.
And when I have to utilize other people's space for the events and things that I want to do, I've always had to go by their rules, or they can hit me over the head with all these extra fees or up the price because now they count my pockets. Oh, you bring in 150 people or 200 people to a party, or you charging 20, 25 out the door, plus you doing this, plus you doing that. Now they start doing all these kind of calculations. Now they want to up the price on you because they feel like they're not charging enough.
Right.
You know, people count your pockets when they see that you're doing things. So my thing was like this. If I get my own event space, I ain't got to worry about nobody else overcharging. And then not only is my event space available for people to rent, but I know that on my own events, I can make enough money to pay my rent, to pay my lease for my event space. So therefore, now anytime anybody else throw a party or event, all that's just extra cash flow.
I love it. So talk to me about that, about how that business model works, if you can. And I don't want all the cheat codes because that's why they have to pay you. But in terms of finding the space, there's a certain amount that you lease for. And then you got what? Baby showers. You got networking events. You got how do you market an event space if somebody wants to jump into that industry? What would you say is the first couple of things that they need to have in place?
Okay. So if you want to have an event space, one of the first couple of things you got to have in place is, number one, your money.
Yes.
How much money do you have? How much money can you afford? Let's say you have a bad month.
Yeah.
Can you afford to pay for this for a bad month? Right. Just okay. So happy. I don't ever even think of having a bad month because I just know that it's not going to happen.
Right.
But
right.
In reality, shit happens. You have to be prepared for it. Right. So that. Right. And then you want to look at what type of events and different things that you want to have. So you got to think about the space. You don't want a space that's so big that when people see it, they be like, oh, I'm only having 50 people. Like, this is going to be too big for me. So they're going to go look for something smaller. So you want to look for something right in the sweet spot that's going to have enough people, you know, where when people have an event and the event going to look packed, right? It's going to look nice. And so you don't want nothing too big, but you don't want nothing too small. And then on that is just, you have to learn to build relationships, right?
Yeah.
Over the years of me throwing parties and events, I've built a lot of relationships. So when I opened my own event space, everybody was just like, oh, shoot, you got something? You know, I've been rocking with you and coming to your stuff for years. Like, I got a birthday party coming up, or I got a baby shower coming up, or I know Terry got an event space. Y'all should rent it out.
Right.
And so it's just about building those memories. I try to teach people, like, relationships are more important than money.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because when you really think about it, those good relationships is going to bring you a lot of money.
Yeah, it brings opportunities.
Yeah, it brings those opportunities and a lot of money. So therefore, building a relationship with someone and not trying to treat them as a monetary value, that's how you're going to be successful. Yeah. And that has really helped me be successful in this space. Number one, I'm good with social media. I have great relationships. Yeah. And I use, like, paid ads and stuff just to make sure that my event space is continue running and being in people's face. So therefore, anytime anything happens, like, oh, you know, my cousin pregnant and she looking for a space. Hey, I know somebody who got a space. Let me hit them up.
Yes, yes. And I think it's also important because of the area that we're in, right? Antioch, you know, we're just far enough from Oakland to where we have to have our own thing out here, but we're close enough to where the people that are in the more populated cities will come out here and still partake.
Yeah, you know, it's because a lot of us, like you said, you grew up in Oakland, I grew up in Oakland, but the housing market in Oakland is so horrible, right?
Yeah.
So all of our people moved out here, Pittsburgh, Antioch, Brentwood, right? Mm-hmm. They live out this way. The thing is, we don't have nothing out here. So anytime we want to do anything, we got to go all the way to Oakland.
Right.
We got to go to the Bay Area to do stuff. But when we going out there partying, we drinking, driving home, risking DUIs and all that type of stuff. And it's just like, I'm like, it's a market out here. It's open.
It's wide open. Yeah.
Wide open. And it's just like, I have a friend who has an event space out in Saliandro. He was telling me, like, a lot of parties and stuff that he having is people coming from Pittsburgh and Antioch. And I'm just like, that's why I open my event space out here, because you shouldn't have to travel 45 minutes away just to have a party when you can travel somewhere that's very nice 10, 15 minutes from your home, get here, have fun, get home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. I think that it's one of the, it's one of the best business models I've seen in a while. And although it does have some potential overhead, if you manage it right, market it right, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It's an absolute no-brainer. It's
absolutely no-brainer. I was talking to somebody about a month or so ago, maybe like 6 weeks, and I was giving them the game of like, just the quick turnaround of like real estate versus the event space, right?
Yes.
Real estate is obviously a long game. You get your property, you invest a lot, you have a lot of equity that you can take out later, right?
Correct.
But on the hindsight of things is like, I buy a house, I rent it out. Mm-hmm. If I rent this house out right now, I'm only going to get like $400 or $500 profit.
Correct.
Per door, right? So let's say I only got one door. I'm only going to get $400 or $500 profit per month per this door. But don't let something go wrong with that space. That $400 or $500 now got to go into fixing my place.
Right.
See, but with event space, you're getting about $1,500, $2,000 per event. So if you, even if you only book every Saturday, if the only time you booked out during the week was on a Saturday, and let's say you made $2,000, that's $8,000 you make in a month.
Yeah.
Your lease not $8,000, but even if your lease was $4,000, you're still making a $4,000 profit per month off of just 4 days a week.
Yeah. And not to mention, you can have time slots in those 4 days, right? So you could have a baby shower from 3 to 5, and then you got a party coming in from 7 to 12. So yeah, there's options available. I love it. And it's funny that you mentioned it earlier. One of my mentors gave me a book called Who Not How. And Who you were talking about, yeah. So that's been a book that I've been listening to lately on Audible, because I don't have time to read nothing. So Audible is.
Listen, I love Audible. I am a audiobooks fanatic. That's what I listen to. I don't even read. I know that if I pick a book up and try to read it, I'm not going to finish it. It's not going to happen. But if I buy the audio version of it, I can listen while I'm cleaning up. I can listen while I'm driving.
Yes.
I can
listen
while I'm doing anything. And then I retain more when I listen to audio than I do when I actually read it.
Absolutely.
And that is learning yourself and learning how, what's the best ways for you to learn.
My mentor, he's in Houston, Texas. His name's Edwin Haynes. He gave me an affirmation hack. He said, spend 10 hours creating your affirmations. Make them as great as possible. Record them and listen to them every night and every morning. Mm. He said it should be no longer than 10, 15 minutes long, all of them. So maybe you have 12 affirmations or whatever, but you listen to them at night and you listen to them in the morning. And because people retain, like you said, when you're listening, they kind of hit a little faster. So then it's not just you pretending and feeling like you're lying to yourself. It's also, right, that you now are hearing it. So it's going into your subconscious.
Yep. And then the key to that is that you're recording it. And so therefore you hear your own voice.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And you trust yourself. So hearing your own voice,
that's huge.
Over, you're going to believe those affirmations more because that voice, you're familiar with that voice and you trust that voice. And that makes a difference of who you listening to and who not. Because let's say if it's just you hear affirmations through somebody else, yes, it can help, but you don't know that person. You don't know that voice. So when you record those affirmations,
Yeah. It's huge. A while back, I sent out an email to my clan, my visionaries out there, and I asked them when was the last time that they challenged their current set of belief systems. So I'm gonna pose that same question to you. When was the last time that you looked at your belief systems and said, I believe, you know, Terry Griffin is worth, you know, 6-7 figures? And when was the last time you challenged the current set?
In reality, man, the other day.
Do tell.
So I don't want to get all sad and stuff, but I had a mentee, my cousin, just passed away.
Sorry to hear that.
Saturday.
Yeah.
And me and him had some really good things and workings together, right?
Okay.
And in reality, we go back to what we were saying earlier about like cliches, right? We hear them and we just ignore them, but the here today, gone tomorrow is so real, yeah, right? But we always feel like it's not going to happen to us.
We got more time. Yep.
right? We always feel that way. Even when people close to us pass away, we still think like, damn, that's sad. We sad for them. We cry, we all of that, but we still think that ain't gonna be me.
Right.
Right. And so because of that, it made me have to sit back and realize like, I feel like I'm doing well, but I'm going hard enough. Yeah. I feel like what I'm believing in my belief system I feel like, all right, I think I'm getting a little too complacent, too comfortable.
Mm.
Let me sit back and let me look at what I'm doing, how I'm doing things, and what can I improve on to be better at? What am I slacking on? And I just had to really have to sit back and look at that. And I was just like, okay, I need to make a change. Yeah. I need to change this a little bit, tweak that a little bit, because I was just cruising. I feel now that I look back at it, I was on cruise control. Mm. My cruise control was still going in the right direction. But if I take my cruise control off and put my foot on that gas,
I'm
going to go farther and faster, right?
Yeah.
And success loves speed. So it's just like I was just on cruise control and I just have to challenge everything that I was doing and kind of come back and switch it up so I can go even harder.
I love it. Can you spend a little bit of time telling me about how belief systems come into play when, as a coach, how that comes into play when you're setting your prices? When did you realize that you were able to charge what you want to charge and or charge more?
So I have a friend tour of mine. His name is Steve Bacon. He's a life coach, and me and him talk. We used to talk more than we do now, but he just moved, so we don't talk as much. But he taught me something. It was just like, you're not going to outperform your self-image.
Mm.
So whatever you believe in that you are, you're not going to outperform that. So if you believe you're a $20 an hour person, you're not going to deliver $40, $50 an hour. You're not going to be that type of person, because your self-image only believes your self-image is $20 an hour. You're not going to outperform that. And so you have to challenge your belief system and you have to expand your self-image. So my self-image has changed. Like you have to really believe in yourself, because We come from a poverty mindset.
Right.
And I tell people this all the time. Like, I don't mean to talk about your parents, but in reality, your parents didn't know nothing about money.
Right.
Your parents live paycheck to paycheck. So how can you say that your mom or your dad really taught you about money when they didn't have any themselves?
Yeah.
And so you have to scratch everything you learn. Learn it over again, and now your self-image and your self-worth is much more. So now I'm invested in myself. I paid $3,000 for a class, right?
Yes.
So now, since I paid $3,000 for a class, I'm more confident in myself and charging more. Why? Because I've done it. Mm-hmm. I spent $3,000 on a class and learned this information. I'm confident to charge $500, $1,000, $1,500 for information because I spent that.
Right.
A lot of people like want to charge a lot, but then they don't want to give a lot. Right. I'm worth $500, $100, however much it is. Right. But then yet they wouldn't spend and invest that in themselves. And that's why they're not succeeding, because it's the law of attraction. Right. It's the law of attraction.
Yes.
How can you want to charge somebody X amount of dollars when you're not even willing to invest that in yourself to become better?
Yeah, I think it's funny that you put it that way, because people will balk at paying $3,000 for a course, but they will willingly go in debt $20,000 for a degree. With no guarantees either way, right? So which one makes more sense, right? $3,000. I tell everybody I know, I will put my personal development up against your master's degree any day and see who comes out on top. Any day. And it's not a knock, you know, on college, because it has its place depending on what you want to be.
Yep.
But I will put my personal growth and my network up against that master's degree any day.
I look at it like this, right? And I'll You go to college. Let's say you go Stanford, right?
Yeah.
You go to Stanford for business. I bet you I can show you somebody on Instagram right now that got a business course that would do better for you than that college degree at Stanford.
Right. Absolutely.
And it's just facts. And it's like that. And it's not. And again, I go and piggybacking off what you said. I'm not knocking college. College is good. I went to college, right? College, yeah. I think college is more so good for building for relationships, right? You build good relationships in college, and then it just add a good structure, right? And then in today's time, we're all about paper and having something to back our name. So having this certificate to back your name and all that stuff, that's good, right? Yes. How many people go to college with this certificate? I remember in 2010, 2008, when the recession happened, I remember going to Wendy's. I kid you not, this is a true story. I remember going to Wendy's, and the guy was interviewing at Wendy's to get a job, and he had a freaking master's degree.
Mm.
He had a master's degree, but since the world was in the recession, he couldn't find a job. So he was interviewing for a job at Wendy's. I remember overhearing the manager interviewing the guy, and he was like, "Oh, you have a master's degree?" He was like, "Yeah, I have a master's degree in such and such and such and such." And I was sitting there like, "What?"
Man, it's the weirdest thing. And one of my former roles, I was a corporate recruiter for years. And I would look at all these degrees and I'm like, this job pays $19 an hour. What are you doing? Like, why are you here? But I think it's, you know, I feel like, hey, my mentor used to tell me somebody has to watch the cars. And I'm like, that's a cold way to look at it. But there's also, I don't want to lie to the viewers, like entrepreneurship is not for everybody.
It's not.
Right. You hear us have this lingo, and you hear us have these conversations about we bet on ourselves and we do X, Y, Z. But that's because we have a different kind of belief system and makeup.
Yeah.
Right. If I tell people there has to be a natural balance, because if there wasn't, us entrepreneurs would have no doctor to go to. You know what I mean? We'd have nobody to do some of the things that we need. So I never want to knock a 9-to-5, but I will always encourage people to believe in themselves, right? Yeah. And to take those risks, even if it's a job risk, you know, get the promotion, get the better job, go after your manager's neck. You know what I mean? Like try to get ahead.
So and it's not just pushing entrepreneurship, it's just pushing believing in yourself.
Yeah.
Going after getting more. You don't have to be an entrepreneur. Everybody, like you just said, everybody's not fit to be an entrepreneur. I don't want everybody to be an entrepreneur. If everybody was an entrepreneur, then I wouldn't be able to hire people, right?
Right.
and then if everybody was an entrepreneur, the different luxuries or different things that I want to explore and do in life, they wouldn't be able to be there.
Right.
So I'm not going to push entrepreneurship on everybody, but there's also levels to different things. But just because you're not an entrepreneur and you're working 9-to-5, don't mean you can't invest.
Yeah.
Don't mean you can't own. Don't mean you can't be in stocks and stuff, right? There's other things that you can put your money into that can create wealth. And that's my thing. Create wealth for you and your family, because you can't pass down a job.
You cannot. You cannot
pass down a job. So just, you don't got to be an entrepreneur, but just invest in something to help grow your business. Don't be so stagnant at that position. Okay, you work in this position and you, like you just said, I'm getting on your manager's neck. Go after your manager job.
Yep. Strategically.
Strategically, in a good way. But right. What I mean, like, apply pressure as far as your work ethic. Man, go to work and work so hard and be the best that you can be at this job that people look at you like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are you the manager? No, I'm not. But I know it seems like it because I know everything about this job that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And position yourself to get to that next level.
Absolutely. Because they'll see it. We're getting close to wrapping up. I got a few more for you, but I definitely want to respect your time. I know you could be out there teaching the masses right now. So you have some rules for success. You got fixtures, invest, read, greetings, and focus. If you remember that, I did my research.
If
you had to choose two to do a mastermind on, which two of those would you choose and why?
You brought back the grift belief. I believe fixtures would be one, building your own table, okay. Right? Because I believe this, people see other people's, like you say, the Black Avengers, right? We see that circle and we like, damn, I want to be there.
Yeah.
But you don't get there and then you build a table. You get there by building a table and then it comes to you.
Right.
Right. So you have to build your table first, because just think, if you don't have a table built and you get into that circle, what do you provide to them? You're not providing, and you don't have nothing to set you at that table because you ain't built nothing yet.
Right.
You have to build something first. So fixtures, I would say that. And then I would go with red. Right.
Yes.
You can't take everybody with you. I was just talking about this the other day when I was on live. Everybody don't deserve the success that you are going to get. You have to learn to leave people behind. We see too many athletes and rappers and all that stuff getting in trouble because their friends is the ones doing the stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's because it came easy to them and they didn't have to work as hard as you did. So to them, it's just like, I'm here. I'm just here for the party. This money don't mean nothing to me because it ain't mine. They didn't have to put in the work that you did. So I love you. I'll see you at the birthdays. I'll see you at Thanksgiving. I'll even see you at Christmas. But on this journey to success of where I'm going, you're not allowed on this with me. And it's no disrespect to you, but it's just a respect to myself.
Yeah.
So you just got to understand, you can't take everybody with you. That's not everybody's journey. That's your journey. You can't bring everybody with you.
Absolutely. Listen, the cousins weren't doing the two-a-days. You know what I mean?
What Drake say? You wasn't with me shooting in the gym.
I love it. Absolutely.
That's real.
Yeah, man, it's a thing, but I loved those those success I can't even think of the word, but those modules that you had. And red was actually my favorite one, because anybody that tells you, you know, anybody that knows me knows 90% of the time when you see me, I'll be by myself, right? If it's not my wife with me, you'll see me by myself, because I don't want anybody around me whose belief systems are lower than mine. Right. And so I am intentional about who I spend my time with, who I, you know, network with, who I will do just random, you know, even if I knock down, go play pool or something like that. That's my little vice. But even if I go play pool, I'll do it by myself, because I can't afford to have low vibration, low belief people around me.
I'm horrible at pool. You know what I mean?
Man, it was the one
mentor me in pool. Okay,
that's so funny. Horrible. Listen, I had one of my guys, my best friend at the time, taught me how to shoot pool because it was the only option available for me to pay rent. Like, unless I wanted to go into a different world that I had just got out of, he was like, "All right, I'm gonna show you how to shoot some pool." And had I known in geometry class that pool was gonna matter, you know, that I was gonna need it to for pool, I probably wouldn't have failed geometry. But you know, it came into play a little bit later. Let's do my lightning round. I'm gonna give you a couple of words. You tell me what comes to mind when you hear those words. You can expand on them or not. It could be one word, it could be a sentence, a phrase, but you tell me what comes to mind when you hear these words. Ready?
I'm ready.
First word is leadership.
First word is leadership. When I think of leadership, I think of someone that is willing to put in the time to help others achieve their goals, not just themselves.
Okay. Second word is communication.
Communication. When I hear communication, I think business. Communication is key in business. A lot of people lack communication in business, and that ultimately goes to customer service. Mm-hmm. And in our community, we have to do better with communication.
Absolutely. What about wealth?
Well, I think a lot of people try to wealth. When I think of wealth, I think of generational wealth. And so that's the first thing that comes to my mind, is building a legacy to leave behind for your kids.
I'm going to put a pin right there, because you mentioned a word that it doesn't annoy me, but it's become a cliche and a catchphrase, right? We talk legacy. About, no, generational wealth.
Generational wealth.
Yeah. Okay. So we talk about generational wealth, and I believe that in the context of what it's taken on, right? You hear all these people talking about generational wealth and generational curses, right? So they go hand in hand for me because I'm so sick of hearing about generational curses. Generational curses were not that. They were operating on the information and the technology that they had at the time, right? And so when people, it depends on who's saying it. Let me caveat that. I hate being politically correct. Oh my God, I hate it. But how many people have you ran across that had to sell grandma's house? Right? They had to sell grandma's house because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. That's not a generational curse. Grandma got a house. You don't.
Yeah.
You know what
grandma
I mean?
Grandma got the house.
Grandma got the house. She did what she was supposed to do, but now you got to sell it because you was, you know, gallivanting and not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so whenever I hear generational curse, I want to make sure that people understand that people were doing what they knew at the time. So it's not always that people have just failed and this is the first generation that has an opportunity, right? This is the first generation where I think all of the information is on the table.
I definitely agree with you. We're at a time to where we can't blame things on what we used to blame things on. Now, I'm not going to brush past, you know, the things that we've been through, the racism, the
right
headlining and all of this kind of stuff that's been there to hold us back. The systematic oppression that we face.
Yeah.
It is still there.
Absolutely. Right?
But in reality, in today's time, this is the time that you can beat it.
Yeah.
This is a time where it's harder for them to oppress you than they was able to before.
It's the greatest wealth transfer available.
It's time right now to do whatever it is to where it's really like you can't really give too many excuses. I made a post the other day on Facebook like, damn, ain't it hard for you to swallow the pill to knowing that everything that happened in your life is your fault?
Woo, let's go.
Because in today's time, the information is there for you to not be in the position that you're in. If you choose to be in this position, that is you. No matter what happened to you when you was younger, we've all dealt with traumatic shit in our life.
Yes.
We can't deal the dramatic things that happened to us at 12 and 15. We can't use that as an excuse no more at 30.
Correct. Yeah.
The stuff is in place for you to correct yourself and become better. Now it's going to be, are you going to do it? Because if you're having mental issues or you're having, you know, a mental blockage of because of something happened to you, there's somebody that you can hire to get you past that.
Yep.
So many people has beaten those different things. Look at Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry is a man that was raped and stuff like that, right? He's made it past that and made a $1 billion mark. There's too many people who've made it out the struggle for you to hold the struggle as your excuse for not making it.
Yeah. I tell people, you know, the best decisions you've had, the collection of best decisions you've had have placed you where you are today. Right. Yeah. So that's based off your belief systems. I love conversations like this. Back to the lightning round. We got three more words. Back to three more words. The next word is vision. What does Terry Griffin think of when he hears the word vision?
When I hear vision, I hear goals, right? I hear goals. I hear accomplishments. I hear tasks. I hear the life I want to live.
I love it. What about dedication?
Dedication. When I think dedication, I think discipline, right? And I just had a conversation. I just went live the other day talking about motivation versus discipline. Dedication is just like discipline, right? You can be motivated to do something, but once you're not motivated, what's going to make you continue to achieve or go for this goal? That's going to be your dedication. That's going to be your discipline.
Last two words. First one is failure.
Failure. The first thing that came to my mind is failure is not an option.
Love it. The last word is growth.
Growth. The first thing that came to my mind when I heard growth was just like personal development. I think what has changed my life, in just all honesty, has been personal development. Me investing in myself and my mind has changed my life in that I just tell people to do it all the time. I tell people, invest in yourself. Don't hire me. Hire somebody else. Yeah. But just hire somebody to hire some type of coach to help you get to that next level, because personal development is what's stopping you from getting to where you want to go.
Man, we need more big thinkers. And I think personal development is the only way that we get there, because I read a study not too long ago. It says nobody watches more television than Black women between the ages of 19 to 34. Right.
These 11 hip hop shows has been the death of us, man.
Listen, my wife will tell you, she might maybe sneak in an episode once every 4 or 5 months. But after I think the first or second season, I deaded all that in my house. My daughters weren't allowed to watch it. Yeah. And I understand people will argue, but she gave people jobs and da da da. Maybe, but giving people jobs and showcasing the worst of us is the worst thing you can do. I believe, man, you'll see my post, but I think Black women are the greatest thing ever created. And so to that point, man, listen, I deaded all that. And there is no Love and Hip Hop. There is no Housewives, none of that in this house.
TV influence our decision making.
Yeah.
Period, point blank. And Absolutely. The drama that they put on there, I just think that too many people see, oh, these Black women are successful by creating all of this drama.
Right.
Let me get on here and create drama too, because maybe I can be them.
Absolutely.
We look up to celebrities. Those people are considered celebrities. Since they're considered celebrities, those people think like, oh, that could be my easy route to stardom.
Yes.
So let me imitate what they do.
Absolutely. That's a whole nother conversation. Well, let's do this. Finish this sentence for me. If you work or hire Terry Griffin, you probably think you're going to get this, but you will actually get this.
If you work or hire Terry Griffin, you probably think that, oh, shoot, that's a hard one. I thought I had it. Look, I said it, repeat. I was about to be good with it. I thought I was going to out. Then I was like, wait, what? So I can't say this because I just had a conversation with a client.
Okay.
People think that I am the end all be all for business.
Okay.
I'm not. I am helping you learn social media and how to gain your exposure with social media for your business. I don't know all the ins and outs of taxes and LLCs and all of that kind of stuff. I can tell you the basics of it, yeah, but that's not my expertise, right? I'm not business credit, all that kind of stuff. My goal is to show you, after we just went through this whole pandemic, if you ain't seen that people made $1 million off social media,
that part,
you need a piece of that pie, and I'm going to be the one to show you how to get it.
I love it. Where can everybody find you online, and what is next for the world's greatest, Mr. Terry Griffin?
So all platforms, I am Terry Griffin. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, like everything, website, everything is I am Terry Griffin. I am branded across all the same as one.
Yes.
You got to make yourself the easiest. You got to make it easy for people to find you. Mm-hmm. So I am Terry Griffin on all platforms. I have a business mixer tonight. So, I mean, you just told me you stay close. So if you're free, come through. You know, I'm having, you know, some food, some drinks, some entrepreneurs there. I really believe in changing your proximity. Changing yes. your proximity will change the compensation that you get, right? Or not even that, just your beliefs. Changing your proximity, change your beliefs. Absolutely. And then Sunday, I have a seminar called Expand Your Brand, where me and a couple of my friends will be teaching people how to utilize social media for business.
Awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
I just want to say one thing, though, before you start, though, before you go.
Yeah.
I completely enjoyed this interview. I just got to say this. We got to get you a better cup, man.
Oh, I knew it was coming.
We got to get you a better cup, man. That cowboy cup ain't going to cut it.
I knew it was coming. You know what's funny? You know what's funny is every time, because I drink entirely too much coffee, right? Every time I do an episode, I purposely have a clear coffee mug just so that I don't have to hear nobody say it. But as it will be, my daughters, you know, once they get a dishwasher, they refuse. They put everything in the dishwasher and never take anything out. So I never know what's clean in the dishwasher or not. That's the thing about having teenage daughters, right? That's and so, so today, good. I said, let it be the one time I have somebody on that's in my area, and they're going to see this cup, and they're going to get on my head. So I own it. I own it. But I can't do the red, bro. I can't do that red and gold. I just, it hurts. What they say? If it put a hurt on my vision. Oh man, listen, it has been absolutely amazing having this conversation with you. And like I said, we have to do more of this because I think that we are thought leaders in the area, obviously, but more importantly, there's too many people depending on us to get this right. So this platform is available to you whenever you need it, man. We have to do much more.
I'm with it. I appreciate you having me on here. I definitely look forward to us connecting. You teach me how to shoot some pool and us, have a good building working relationship.
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have been rocking with the great one, Terry Griffin, and yours truly, Chuck Hawkins, here at the Hawk Vision Podcast. And we've been talking about content creation, expanding your brand, event spaces, and so much more. I hope this interview was informative. I hope we added a smile to your day. But most importantly, we hope that we have helped you shorten the learning curve on your journey to success. Buy your boy a coffee. I'm running out. I might even change the mug. like, share, subscribe across all your platforms. Send in your messages and your guest suggestions. I cannot continue to grow this show without you guys, my visionaries, and I'm so appreciative that you gave us your time today. Listen, you guys know how it goes. There is absolutely no miracle that will ever happen without somebody doing something. We'll see you either at the top or from the top. The choice is yours. Terry Griffin, thanks for having you on, sir.
All right, man. I appreciate you. I appreciate everybody.